Okay.
I'm gonna use the Bible.
I got it.
All right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna have my wife pray us in. Then
amen. Then we'll get started.
Hallelujah. Our Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you for this day, dear Lord.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for prayer service, dear Jesus. We thank you for everyone that's in the house and those abroad, dear Lord. We thank you for hearts that are ready to receive on today, dear Jesus, that we will be blessed, dear Lord, by your presence in each of us, dear Lord, as your Holy Spirit manifests the word to our ear for clearer understanding, dear Lord. Let it land on solid ground, dear Jesus. Let us be blessed. Let it be a word that's directly from your Holy Spirit that we needed to hear on today, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus, for the testimonies that went forth, dear Lord. We thank you for your presence in all things. We pray right now for Pastor Sandy, dear Jesus, that he stands at a conduit for your word, dear Lord, to continue to go to his heart, dear Jesus, and out to us with clarity, dear Lord. We thank you and we are blessed on today for your ever presence in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Riley, Riley, Riley. I'm gonna sing. Yeah, I'm ready. I am. I may use the board, but it's kind of turned the wrong way. Yeah. I get this part. If you get that part.
You go ahead.
Yeah, that's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I got 80% that time. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Kol Elohim Tov. I should have just did that at first.
Right.
Yeah, it's like we don't know that other thing. Kol Hazman. See, God is good all the time. Hallelujah.
I missed that, Pastor Sandy. What did you say?
Okay. Let's get started. Great message today. Once again, I'm listening to my wife, them in there, and they're talking about my message. And I'm like, are you doing it again, Lord? It's like they're listening to what I'm writing or something. So I want to say about this card I got from Yenny today, one of our members online, and she says, thank you for your wonderful teaching and preparing the body of Christ. I love the third temple teaching. Please continue to pray for us. I pray we all be found worthy when he appears in the cloud party, kind of, sort of. I'm kind of briefing now. And in his name, and it's from Yini. And I like Yini because she sent me another card, which I keep in my car. And that card says, the world is better because of people like you. Now, the reason why I keep it is because when I was, I don't even want to say backslide, because slide is kind of, you slide, and I kind of jump back. But I was on public transportation, and a guy said something to me, and then I said something to him, and then he kicked me, and then I drug him off the public, and then I was beating him, and he was bleeding. And then I was with a friend of mine from Morocco, and she said, people like you, I can't be your friend. The world would be better without people like you. And I went, dang, that hurt my feelings, you know? Because it's like, you would think, a person thinks like you've been a pastor all your life, right? And this is why I love Amber so much, because people see Amber now and they go, oh, she's just on fire. She must have grew up in an apostolic church. No, she did not. Okay. But this is about being real. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was the type of person I was. You understand?
Right.
Not really worthy of being here. Like, the world would be better if you weren't here. And then she gave me that card, and I was saying, look what a change God did in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What a big change that God made me say that to me after someone else saying that to me. It's like, okay, God does miracles. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right, he's here. Man, how can you be here? All right, I'm not going to. I want Riley to sing, but I don't have time, huh?
Correct, Travis
Sandy. Riley can sing, man.
Yes,
okay. Next time, girl. She can sing. Hallelujah. Okay. We're going to be starting in the book of Numbers today. And in the book of Numbers, we are going to... Did I say Numbers? I'm from South Central LA. I'm sorry if I mispronounced it. But it's Numbers.
It's Numbers.
And we're going to be in chapter 35, okay? The title of today's message is How to Stay Rapture Ready 101. Okay, it's... I call it a teaching. Because the Lord is kind of letting me know, like, this is your job, okay? Your job is to prepare the people to go, okay? And you're having this conversation with the Lord, like, well, you know, people are getting ready to go. It's like half those people spend 4 hours watching Illuminati videos and they go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they're not spending time with me. It's like they're interested in every demonic video that comes on. They're watching Illuminati videos all day and they go, and then they call their friend and they say, guess what? Barack Obama is the devil. And then they go, wow, I didn't know that. And then, but God is like, nobody's spending time with me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And we have to understand that's not relationship.
Amen.
Okay? That's not relationship. So we have to learn the importance of relationship. Okay? But before you learn relationship, you have to understand why and how you could possibly be a part of this. Okay? Because I'm looking out at an audience full of people and talking to people around the world, and everybody is guilty. You understand? There is no such thing as a non-guilty person living in the earth.
Amen.
Okay? Because Jesus Christ came and he died for a reason. And the reason he died was not specific sins. He died for all sins. Okay? So therefore, everybody, Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. And so therefore, everyone in here is guilty. Okay? But we're going to show you something here. And I think Cora was at my house. We had a Bible study about this one time. If you're in Numbers chapter 35, we are going to begin reading at, let's go to verse 9 and begin reading, okay? Should I go? Not yet. It said, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you cross the Jordan to Canaan, select some towns to be your cities of refuge, to which a person who has killed someone accidentally may flee. They will be places of refuge from the avenger, so that the person accused of murder may not die before he stands trial before the assembly. You see what I just read? Now, cities of refuge were built by the nation of Israel because every now and then an accident happens called manslaughter, right? You didn't really do it on purpose, but the person ended up dying. And to make sure that the family members of that person don't kill you before trial, they set up cities of refuge that you can go and you can live there until they could set you up a trial and give you a court date, okay? And so there was rules concerning the cities of refuge, though, okay? Some of the rules consisted of the fact that the high priest is living there, And also, as the high priest is living there, you have to live in the city, okay? I'm going to read verse 25. Let's go down to 25. I want to read that so you get a real good understanding of these cities. It says, the assembly must protect the ones accused of murder from the avenger of blood and send him back to the city of refuge to which he fled. He must stay there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the accuser ever goes outside of the limits of the city, of the city of refuge to which he has fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the city, the avenger of blood may kill the accused without being guilty of murder. The accused must stay in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Only after the death of the high priest may he return to his property. So there you have it. He can live in this town and he can be safe and he can be secure as long as what? He doesn't go outside of the city. You understand? So who is this city of refuge? Because Jesus says the volume of the book is about me. The city of refuge is Christ. Yes. He is our refuge. He is our high tower. He is the one that is keeping us safe and is watching over us to make sure that we don't die for our crime. Okay? Because if sin killed Jesus, and you have sinned, then you're guilty.
Yes.
Did you do it on purpose?
No.
So that means it's not murder, it's what? Manslaughter. But God has deemed everyone guilty of manslaughter because Jesus Christ died for sins. Mm-hmm. And so everyone in the world is guilty. Therefore, God has made it where we all need the city of refuge, okay? Everyone has to get to the city of refuge and make sure that you stay there until the high priest dies. Now, our high priest has been resurrected, so when's he going to die?
He's never going to die.
Never. So your protection is forever. But you have to stay in the city. If you go outside of the city and something happens to you, don't say, well, you can't kill me because I live in the city of refuge. Because the enemy is going to say, well, you're not in the city of refuge right now. You're in what? Or you're in a bad neighborhood, right? So you don't wander outside the city. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm just going to tell you what I would do if I was a family member of the person that you killed. I would hang outside of the gates of the city of refuge.
Yep.
And if you're a guy, I would get my sister to put on a nice outfit and hang outside the gate. Just to see if you might want to come outside, right? Because I can't do nothing to you in there.
Right.
So I need something to entice you to come out here, right?
Glory.
That's how Satan is working. He knows you're in the city of refuge. He knows you're being protected. But his idea is, I've got to get you out of the city, because if I can get you out of Christ, you're no longer protected. And so God gave us this example of cities of refuge so that we understand how we're protected, okay? Anybody who was on the ark and was saved from the water, if they wanted to go for a swim, was no longer protected.
Amen.
You understand? If you jump over because you think the water looks beautiful, you're a problem,
right?
Okay?
Right.
You were already on the ark.
Mm-hmm.
You were on your way to safety.
Yep.
And something enticed you to go for a swim. That would be crazy, right? Well, it's just as crazy as people who are in Christ who say, I think I'm going to go to a club tonight and meet a guy that's not saved. And go on a date with a guy that's not saved. And because Satan is trying to trap you, right? He don't want you to just come outside the gate. He wants you to hang outside the gate.
Right.
The devil comes to steal, kill, and
destroy.
You understand? In Christ, in the city of refuge, you are safe. Praise God.
Amen.
Let's go to Proverbs 18:10 first. I'm going to go there first. Proverbs 18:10. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You hear that?
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, you are in a strong tower. The righteous people run to Christ. They run to the city of refuge. They run to the strong tower. And they stay there because there they are safe. I think in Solomon, the people were in trouble and they found a strong tower. And they went and they climbed up to the top of the tower so that they could be safe. But it was a strong tower. God is saying your safety in life, your safety in your spirit, in your spiritual walk is all in Christ. God is trying to keep you safe. Okay? You don't go hanging out thinking that people are going to treat you well. Okay? Like the young kid that went out to go march with Black Lives Matter. And them kids ain't saved. Mm-mm. And he ends up dying in Seattle because they shot him, right? But he's not hanging out with Christians. He's going down there because he thinks he's standing up for blackness. But he was hanging out with a bunch of people who don't know God. Okay? That's enticing someone to come out from the city of refuge.
Amen.
Okay, come do it for blackness. And you out there protesting with a bunch of crazy people, mm-hmm. and you know Jesus, go home
right.
and pray.
Right.
You'll do more effective, right?
Right. Be much more effective. Amen.
Let's go back to Psalms chapter 18. Verse 2. We're going to start at.
Where again?
Psalms chapter 18, verse 2. And I'm doing this because we're going to get into a study here. Now, before we read that, I want to say this. When Jesus was on the cross, right? He did something for the whole world. Do you know if you kill someone on purpose, if you were in the Jewish community, you killed someone on purpose, you couldn't go to the city of refuge? Do you know that? If you did it on purpose, there was no, you just had to die. If they, you could prove it was an accident, now, okay. But if you did it on purpose, you're just done, okay? Now, the people that nailed Jesus to the cross, do you think they did that on purpose or was it an accident?
Purpose.
The guards that punched him in the face and drug him to the cross, do you think they did it on purpose or by accident?
Purpose.
But Jesus, on the cross, says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So what did Jesus do? He declared them innocent. Which gave the whole world the ability. So rather you did your sin on purpose or rather you did it by accident, God declared you innocent and worthy of a city of refuge. Now, you're not innocent. We got to get you to trial.
Right.
But you are worthy to go to a city of refuge now, even if you did it on purpose.
Wow.
So don't think Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they what they've done. It was a small thing. He declared the whole world can be innocent if they come to me.
Yes.
So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whosoever believeth, should not perish but have everlasting life. Now is for everybody. Because when I was doing prison ministry, there were people there that refused to come to church because they said, what I did, there ain't no way God gonna forgive me. Mm-hmm. I said, well, what you got in your pocket? Kind of like prison talk. I got murder in this pocket. I got drug sales in this pocket. He's like, I got a lot of stuff in my pocket. I can't go to church. So I showed him this. I said, God's declaring that you can run to the city and you can stay in Christ till you get to your court, which is in heaven, and you can be declared innocent. Because there's nothing that you can do. That's why I told you about me on the bus, right? Because people get goofy. You know what I mean? They think like, I'm not the churchy type. Ain't nobody in church churchy type. You need to hear some testimonies. Man. There's very few people that grew up in the church, lived in the church. I always been saved. I was saved when I came out the womb. I know you wasn't. There's nobody in church like that. We all have something we can tell you about, right? That's why I told you that. You understand? Because in my own thinking, I didn't think I was worthy of Jesus Christ. But God says you're worthy. God says all you got to do is get in the city. Who's the city? Jesus is the city. Get inside the city and stay inside the city. And then you'll be safe here, and I'll keep you and protect you while you're here. Okay? So we're going to get to the title of this. Now, in Proverbs 18, no, when Psalms 18, 2. Now, we got to go through this slow because God is a very personal God, and he's trying to teach you stuff. And I know you guys aren't Hebrew students, and I'm not going to try to go all the way there. But if you know what he's trying to say, this will hit home harder, okay? Because, here, watch this. Okay, it says, the Lord is my rock. That's Selah, right? It's not Tazor. And I'm going to explain that to you a little while, okay? Because a rock is just a rock until David picks it up. You understand?
Yeah.
It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverance. My God is my rock, Tazor. That's Jesus, 888. Okay, now he said, my rock is Jesus, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the Magan David, like the Star of David, right? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, Jesus, my stronghold. Understand? Now, let me explain this to you. When he says that he is my rock, the first one, he's there, but if I haven't chosen him, he's of no interest to me. You understand? He's the rock, whether you pick him up or not.
Right.
You understand? But the scripture is saying in the Hebrew, but once you pick up Selah, Selah becomes Tazor. Tazor is, hand me that blue bag. Tazor is a rock. That's numerical value is 296 in Hebrew, times 3, which is the Trinity, is 888, which is the name of Jesus in the New Testament. So once you pick up the rock, he becomes Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, he becomes also your shield of protection. Okay? Not just in the by and by in the sky. He becomes your shield of protection right here on earth.
Yes.
Okay? He becomes a fortress that even though people try to do things against you, they can't do it.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, my brother, I was that thing with my brother the other day. My mother, let me tell you about my mom. My mom, you get home from school, after you do your homework, you go outside and play. You can play until the street lights came on, which was about 6:30 or 7. So from about 3:30 or so, you could go outside and play. My mother would be praying while we're outside, seems like the whole time, because you come back inside and she's still praying. It's like, wow. Mom, yeah, I'm praying, boy, leave me alone. Well, you go back outside, right? My brother was driving in his car when he was in junior college, and I don't know if he had on blue or none, but he was in a blood neighborhood. Somebody rolled up on him and pulled a shotgun, put it like this, pointing it at him. And the police car just happened to pull up at the same time, right? Watch this. The guy goes, "You lucky," and drives off with the shotgun. My brother looked up for the police car, and there was no police car. So he's like, where'd the car go? Where'd the police car go? Because the light's still red. Where'd the police car go? I didn't see it turn or anything. So did God make a car, a police car, appear there?
Yes, he did.
So that the... This is what I'm talking about when God is your protection. You understand?
Yes.
He does things that you can't explain, but he makes sure it gets done. Yes. Like sending you back to your job so it can be open for one day so you can get a check done.
Man, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I need y'all to open for one day because my daughter need a check stuff. All right, y'all close back up now.
Is that crazy?
That's what God does. He does incredible things in your life if you get him involved. You understand? But if you never pick up the rock, he never becomes your protection. He never becomes your shield. He's just Selah. But you want him to become Zor. You want him to become 3 times 296. You want him to become Jesus in your life. You want him to be your salvation. Let's continue, because this is going to get us to where we need to go. Now, there are other words in here, like the shield, the Magan. Oh my goodness. And this is what the Lord had me do. When you say that he becomes your shield, what you are saying is not just the Magan, he becomes your defense. He becomes your army. He's your protection. These are all the same numerical value of 93 in Hebrew, that when God's saying, "I'm your shield," he's saying, "I'm not just your shield, I'm your army. I'm your protection." You understand?
Yes.
Then it says, "I am your chuppah. I'm your wedding chamber." He says, "And you are my temple, and I am your inheritance." All this runs under the shield 93, because when God is speaking to you a word, he's giving you the fullness of who he is. You understand? And so he says he becomes your thelema, because he wants your will, because your will is the most important thing in a relationship. You understand that? Your will becomes the most important thing in a relationship. I'm going to say that one more time.
Yes.
Your will becomes the most important thing in a relationship.
Yes.
Okay? Because if you're not willing to love me back, if you want to treat me as a religion and not submit your will, because that's what all religion is. It's like, I'll practice you, but I do what I want. Okay? That's your will. That's like, I don't want to submit my will. Because if I submit my will, I'm saying the things that Jesus Christ spoke have to be important to my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So now I'm going to, watch. Will and love have the same numerical value, 93.
Wow.
Do you know that? And Jesus says, if you love me,
you'll keep my
commandments. So your love becomes your will to keep your commandments. You understand? I beg you, the hardest thing in the world to do is to give up your will. Somebody telling me to shut up and be quiet and don't say nothing, and I know he's talking to me like I'm crazy and I'm big enough to do something. And God saying, just say, "God bless you," and walk away. My will for a long time said, "That ain't happening. Not today. You go to hospital and I'm going to jail." And that's the way it happened for a long time.
Oh my goodness.
A long time. And then God told me one day, you are a horrible representation of me.
Wow.
He said, there are people that don't know me that act more Christian than you. He said, you have a quick temper, you're impatient, you're rude. Says, I want you to read Corinthians chapter 13 for the next 3 weeks and get it in your system before you even say you're a Christian to anybody again. So I start reading Corinthians chapter 13. I was like, this is impossible. He forgives all wrongs done. He doesn't remember the past. Like somebody does something to me, I'm not supposed to remember. Who wrote this? It's basically what I would say. And God was like, your patience. So, and I told you guys before, I would go to the store and God would go, get in that line. And I go, there's only two people in that line. There's 12 people in the line. Get in that line. And I would stand there like, I could just go over there. Lord, I could just go over there. It's like you learning patience. Listen to the people that are in line. Everybody, well, how come they don't have more lines open? How come this, right? Now, I know I only got, what, 7 items. I could go in that line. Go stand in that line. God was teaching me patience, right? So this is what I'm trying to say. When you're talking about the shield, you're talking about more than God just becoming your protection. He wants your will. And he says, if I have your will, one of the words, I become your chuppah. I become your wedding chamber. Because
yes.
He's like, I got a future for you. You understand?
Yeah.
Let's continue.
Amen.
Because this is what the message is about. Let's go to Isaiah 57. We're going to read it real fast. Because I got 4 of these I need to read. And then I'm going to tell you why the Lord wanted me to read them.
Amen.
Because the Lord says, I'm looking for intimacy and people are looking for church.
Mm.
I'm looking for a relationship and people are looking for church. I say it in this church many times, and my wife says, I hate when you say that because people won't come to church if you keep saying that. But I would rather you stay home, go in your closet, and read your word, and pray, and just talk to Jesus, you and him together, than come here and be fake with me.
Put on a show. Amen.
And if you felt you get more at home by staying there and reading your word, and if God is getting to you and he's talking to you while you're at home, that's more than what you're going to get here. It's probably a better place to be is in your solitaire with Jesus.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
First religion in the world is God and Adam. No church, no crosses,
right.
No nothing,
right.
No building, no checking in, no ushers. No weird people. God bless you. Thank you for coming. None of that. None of that, right?
Amen.
Because when I went to church, I was like, Lord, they just too weird. I can't go there. I'm going to go hang out with the homies, and then I'll just, no, I want you to go. But sometimes church is not it.
Right.
And God wants you to know church is not it. Because if you're not spending any personal time, you're wasting time.
Because
yep. You're not going to grow.
Right. Yep.
You want to have group dates and see how much your wife likes it.
Ooh.
You come home, she's in a nice dress, ready to go out, and you're going, I brought the fellas. She go, you and the fellas can go.
Right.
And you do that 10 times, you going, right? Because every relationship demands what? Intimacy.
Yes.
Quiet time together, me and you. I don't need your friends, just me and you. Let's get back to how this started, okay? You said the prayer, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. You were crying.
Mm-hmm.
Now I came in your life and we're growing, and then all of a sudden you don't want to be personal no more. You don't want a relationship.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's good, Pastor.
So, are you in Isaiah chapter 57?
Yes.
Now watch, this is what it says, because I got to do my job. It says, the righteous perish, but no one ponders in their heart. The devout men are taken away, but no one understands that the righteous are taken away to spare them from evil. Now I'm going to read it the way the Hebrew said. The righteous disappear, and no one ponders in their heart. Devout men are taken away from the earth, and no one understands that the righteous have been taken away to spare them from evil. What's going to happen after the rapture happens?
Evil.
The world's going to get evil. This is what Isaiah 57 is talking about. He's talking about a time, because they use the English word perish, the word avad, and it means to disappear as smoke or vapor in the air. You see it, and then now you don't. That's avad, right? So it's saying this is what's going to happen to the righteous of the earth. They're going to disappear like a vapor that you see it and then you don't. Okay? And he says, but right after it happens, the world's going to get evil. Okay? Now, I'm getting away from that, because if you read the rest of it, it'll start talking about a bunch of bad stuff start happening. Micah chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, it said, what mercy, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers the summer fruit after gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have avad from the earth. Same word. The righteous have disappeared. And then it says here, look, let's see what it says after. It says the righteous have avad, yours might say swept away or perished or whatever, but the Hebrew says the righteous have avad, not one upright man remains, all men lie in wait to shed blood, each hunts his brother with a net. So right after the righteous disappear, seems like it gets pretty bad, right? So I'm imagining that you don't want to be here when the righteous disappear.
Amen.
That's why the Lord said, title this, How to Stay Rapture Ready 101. In college, they give you 101. Like, this is the basic instruction, okay? Now, you have 10 virgins. All of them know that the bridegroom's coming. When he comes, 5 are ready and 5 aren't. Right?
Amen.
They come back, they say, hey, we got some oil, let us in. He says, I'm sorry, I don't know you. So it's like, wait a minute. God don't say that he don't know them. Like, I know all your names. We just never hung out. We never had that intimacy that I require for me to be your shield and your reward. You understand? And so I want to say this, or ask this question. What is the biggest enemy of Christianity? I ask God, what's the biggest enemy? Is it forsaking the fellowship? You know, forsaking the fellowship, like, do not forsake the fellowship of the saints. You know what I mean? Go and be with them, hang out with them, sing songs with them. You know what I mean? Don't forsake this. And I said, is that it, Lord? And he said, nope, that's not the most important. He said, it's intimacy. Then he said, go and read Luke chapter 10, verse 39. So I read Luke chapter 10, verse 39. Guess who's talking about? To Mary. I mean, Martha and Mary. You guys know the story of Martha and Mary?
Yeah.
I'm just telling it because I don't want to read it. Martha's in there and Jesus is talking and Martha's soaking it up. Like, I'm hanging out with you, Jesus. You telling me about life, about what it takes to have a relationship with you. And the other one's in the kitchen. Which one's in the kitchen?
Martha.
Martha's in the kitchen. She's doing all the work because she's thinking she's doing what Jesus wants. Jesus wants me to prepare the food, clean everything, and Jesus wants me to do this and to do that. And Jesus wants me to do this, and she's busy. Martha's at Jesus' feet like, really? Heaven's like that? Oh, okay, I can change that. Really? She's having an intimate moment with Jesus. Martha comes in there and goes, hey, what's your problem? I'm here working in the kitchen, cutting tomatoes and all this stuff, getting the tacos prepared. And you in here sitting down with the fellas and Jesus. Tell her to come help me. Jesus said, mm-mm. She's chosen the better thing to do. You should have been in here too and say, you know, I can eat tacos anytime.
Right.
Let me sit at your feet and find out who you are, and you know me and I know you, because this is more important, God, right? Because that's what is the most important thing in the relationship, is intimacy. People don't take time to get to know me. This is what the Lord says. They get excited about me. And he says, right now, most of them are excited about learning who's bringing the pandemic around and who's rioting and who the Antichrist is going to be. And he says, people spend 4 hours to the next video. And then never do they ever read just one chapter, which would take them like maybe 5 or 10 minutes, right? Or 5 minutes of prayer. Because I'm not a big prayer. I can't pray for a long time. Because I think, like, I'm boring to God. Unless I pray in the spirit, I could pray a little longer. But when it's just me and him talking, I know you're bored with what I'm saying. I'm going to pray in the spirit for a little while, then I'm going to get up, you know. But at least I got some intimate time. You understand? If I'm reading the word, I'm going to get more out of it. You know why? Because while you're reading, the Holy Spirit's talking to you.
Yeah.
While you're reading, the Holy Spirit's talking to you. He's explaining stuff to you. Then he might tell you something that becomes a revelation to you. And it's so intimate that it's like, wow, okay, I learned a lot in that session. You understand?
Amen.
So I don't want to be one of the people that get left behind, not because I didn't believe that the rapture was coming and the Illuminati is coming and the 666 is coming. I don't want to be that guy. You know, you can do all of that and you forget the most important thing. A one-on-one date with the one you said you loved. And God said, that is the most dangerous thing about Christianity. Everybody's getting away from what that young lady was doing. If you don't have personal time with God, you don't have a relationship. I know if a lot of people go to church, they go to choir rehearsal, they do this, they do that. But if you don't, they hang out with the fellas, but hanging out with the fellas is not personal time. You understand? So God's like, cut me out some time. Just like any spouse would ask, okay? Why you always got to be here, you got to be there. Cut me out some time. Like I said, you come home, she got a dress on, you think you're going for an intimate evening out, and you got 12 people with you. That's not personal time. And there's not one person here that would stay in a relationship that the person doesn't want to spend any intimate time with you. You would all be like, you know what, I just can't do this.
Right.
So this is what God is asking for, okay?
Amen.
Now, watch. This is what the Lord is talking about when it comes to personal time. Let me see. Okay. This is what we're going to do. Okay. You guys ready? I'm trying to explain this, Lord. Okay. Do you guys know what the numerical value for love in Hebrew is 13? I want you guys to know that. Numerical value for love in Hebrew is 13. This is why Corinthians is in the 13th chapter. It has 13 characteristics of love, and it has 13 verses. Okay? God's personality is love. Okay? Now, that three times, since God is a Trinity, three times 13 is 39. The fullness of love is what? Yahweh Echad. God is one. The fullness of Christ is what? the name Jesus. The fullness of Christ is what? Truth and emunah. What is emunah? Faithfulness. There is a faith in Greek and there is a faith in Hebrew. Faith in Hebrew means you're loyal to me. Faith in Greek means you believe something even though you haven't seen it. But faith in Hebrew means loyalty. People try to live off of name it and claim it. But he says, if you don't have loyalty to me, you can't name nothing and claim it. Because emunah is more important than pistos, which is a faith to believe something you haven't seen. You've got to first have emunah. You got to be faithful to me. Okay? Because Satan is always going to try to pull you away. And if you're not faithful, then I can't trust you with no gifts. Because you'll ruin it. You'll take my gift to the wrong place. Get it messed up. And I'm like, what was you doing there? Well, I didn't have any emunah, but I sure had the pistos to get it. No, you need emunah. You need to be faithful. Okay? So, now listen to this. There's a word in Hebrew called dew. You know that sound? Like the dew in the morning. And then the backwards of that is softly and secretly, which is the Hebrew word for quiet intimacy. So with God, love is soft dew resting upon me and covering over me. You're intimate with me. And so this is why the Lord is telling me that he doesn't want to do church. He's like, Lord, are you sad the churches are closed? He's like, no. Why? Because a lot of people were just doing church. Now they get to stay at home, they have to read their Bible, and we can talk. It's like, it's been great.
Wow.
No more religious people. I never wanted religion. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. No, I want it like, how you doing this morning? I'm fine, how are you doing? I'm fine. You know what? You're starting to get a little rude with people. You need to check yourself on that. Really, Holy Spirit? I'm going to watch that. Okay, let me know when it's happening. You know what I mean? And then now you're doing what? You're growing in Christ. You're being transformed into the image of Jesus because you're allowing yourself intimate time with God. Okay?
Good word.
It's hard to explain intimacy. It really is. It's hard to explain intimacy. It's hard to explain how important it is. But when you have it, you know, this is so nice.
Yeah.
God says that's how he feels. When you spend quiet time with him, it's like, you know, like you and your husband, you're just out and you're eating dinner and you're laughing. And then he reaches over and he touches your hand. He reaches over and kisses your cheek. You're like, ooh, right? You like this? And you're like, oh, I bought you a little something today. Bah. And you're like, I always wanted one of those. Thank you. And then it's like all this quiet, no kids going, Mama, you gonna cook? None of that, right? Get out of here. This is our time, right? God says it's hard to explain, but it is the most important ingredient if you're going to serve God. Okay. I don't think I need 5 more minutes, Pastor Ben. It's a myrrh. It's also the word, the love that says two ways in the Hebrew. So there's no such thing as a one-way love affair.
Mm-mm.
Well, God loves me. It's unconditional love. You know, there's no such thing as unconditional love. You guys call it, what you guys call it? Agape? You know, agape doesn't mean unconditional love. That's what the pastors told me all my life. I look up the word and it means brotherly love. It means two brothers or, you know, that are intermingling and having a friendship and a relationship with each other. So agape love is a two-way love affair between two different people. There's no such thing as unconditional love. I'm just gonna love you no matter what you do. Doesn't matter. You can slap me, kick me around, steal my money, and I still love you. It doesn't exist. And you're like, but I love my kids unconditionally. No, you don't. They just young and you haven't met them yet. You understand? Because that's like the guy said, I don't know how old Satan was when he rebelled, but I think it's about 15 or 16. Because that's when, you know, they start thinking for themselves. They like, oh, I saw this cute boy on TV today. Ooh, dad, this girl is fine. You be like, oh man, I was hoping we didn't get to this age. Rapture, where are you? So this, most important thing, you guys, relationship. I don't know how you get to it, but you have to. It's not, it doesn't happen accidentally. I want you to know that. An intimate affair or an intimate time together does not happen accidentally, okay? You don't fall in the house and you got intimate time. You gotta say, this is my time. This is how I'm going to spend it. And you've got to cut it out. You understand? You got to cut this out. This is me and God's time right here. I don't want you kids coming in the room, like my mother would say. Mm-hmm. Stay out of here during this amount of time, because this is me and Jesus' time. And by doing that, God is going to grow you in him. He's going to talk to you. He's going to tell you things that you've been wondering about, and now he's going to give you the answer. You say, I don't have direction. He's going to give you direction, but it's not going to come while you're doing a bunch of stuff. It's going to come when you settle down and say, just me and you, Lord. We're going to talk. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.